Welcome back to the ACG Case Reports Journal's Behind the Case podcast. I'm Faisal Nimri, Advanced Intervention Endoscopy Fellow at Henry Ford Health in Detroit and Associate Editor of the ACG Case Reports Journal. My guests today are Dr. Mohammed Saad Faisal, a third-year internal medicine resident at Henry Ford Hospital, and our expert opinion is Dr. Sumit Singhala, Division Head of Gastroenterology and Hepatology Department and Advanced Interventional Endoscopy Senior Staff at Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit as well. And we'll be discussing biliary radiofrequency ablation and sphincterotomy restenosis, a unique case of biliary obstruction, published in the September issue of the ACG Case Reports Journal. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Faisal.
Of course, I'm going to start with Dr. Saad Faisal and ask you if you could please summarize this case for us.
Yes, of course. So we have a 98-year-old female patient. She has a past medical history significant for adenocarcinoma of the ampulla of Vater 4 years before our case happened. At that time, it was managed successfully by papillectomy and one cycle of biliary RFA, surveillance up to 1 year after the procedure was negative. So our patient presented to us outpatient for 2 weeks of progressive jaundice, nausea, and pruritus. Labs were remarkable for a pattern of cholestasis, and given the history of adenocarcinoma of the ampulla of Vater, the patient underwent emergent ERCP. Now, ERCP demonstrated complete restenosis of the previously performed sphincterotomy, which was widely patented at the last surveillance ERCP 3 years ago. Apart from that, the bile duct was cannulated using a traction sphincterotome, and fluoroscopic images demonstrated common bile duct dilation up to 25 millimeters, along with severe stenosis at the pancreatic biliary junction. Subsequently, the patient, the bile duct was cannulated, a fully covered metal stent was placed with an anchoring double pigtail stent in the common bile duct. Post-procedural fluoroscopic images did not show any strictures, stones, or dilations of the common bile duct. The patient did have improvement in symptoms in pruritus as well as liver enzymes after the procedure, and she was discharged the same day with progressive improvement over the next few weeks as well. Biopsies taken from that procedure were negative for recurrent adenocarcinoma. So in our case, we had a patient who had sphincterotomy restenosis with a history of biliary RFA at the same region, which was very interesting to us.
That is really interesting. Thank you very much for this very nice summary. And Saad, could you walk us through the process of diagnosis of ampullar restenosis in this case? And so how sphincterotomy was able to manage this again? And if there's any also insights on RFA for ampullar restenosis?
Of course. So the reason why this case was interesting to us is because sphincterotomy restenosis is known to happen sometimes after biliary sphincterotomy. It is something that is known in literature. However, the fact that RFA is a new and upcoming modality of treatment and palliative care, there is no long-term data for RFA restenosis related to biliary RFA in the past. So what we found is on repeat ERCP, the ampulla of Vater was completely restenosed when we did the repeat procedure. And we had to actually do a sphincterotomy again just to make sure that we could access the bile duct properly. Looking at the previous ERCP we got at surveillance around 1 year after the initial procedure, it was completely patent at that point. And the biggest concern in a patient like this is that it can be recurrent malignancy. However, biopsy proved that it wasn't malignancy either. So we would say that this is restenosis, which was contributed to by the prior RFA that the patient had. And that makes pathophysiological sense as well. Since heat is delivered in the bile duct, that can cause hypertrophy of the tissue over there, leading to restenosis.
That is wonderful. Thank you very much. And this is really interesting because as an advanced intervention endoscopy fellow, and we re-encounter some restenosis sometimes, and it happens even without a processes like malignancy or a radiofrequency ablation. And it depends sometimes on the size of the original sphincterotomy and if there's any other pathophysiological processes in the biliary tree that can contribute to that. But this is really interesting because, as you mentioned, radiofrequency ablation is something that is and you has been there for only a few years, and any complication or any risks to do RFA is very important to be reported. And these are unique cases. And thank you very much for this nice summary and answer. I'm now going to shift gears and ask our expert opinion, Dr. Sumit Singhala. As we mentioned, RFA has been increasingly used recently over the past years for, especially for ampullary and biliary tumors, but many others as well. Could you please walk us through the technicality of how to perform RFA, especially in the setting of ampullary and biliary malignancies? And I know from personal experience, you have been doing this as your main focus of expertise and of practice. So it would be very helpful if you can give us some of your insights.
Thank you, Dr. Nimri. Nice job with the case, Dr. Faisal. That was terrific. I want to come back to something you said a minute ago, which is we should always, in advanced endoscopy and in GI and in medicine in general, be willing to talk about the complications and adverse events. So I want to congratulate you and the ACG for highlighting a case like this, because it's very easy to perform a procedure. It's harder to admit when something doesn't go the way you wanted it to and to put it out there so others can learn from it. So I'm really, really glad to be here talking about this. In terms of the technology in general, you can think about it really for two major indications. One, which is in this case, is tissue destruction to kill cancer or precancerous cells. And we'll talk about that specific to ampullary adenoma. The major indication is part of a multidisciplinary approach to biliary tumors higher up in the biliary tree, mostly for unresectable advanced hilar cholangiocarcinoma. So that's far and away the highest, you know, volume or N of these types of procedures. But those are the two major indications. A third could be to rescue tumor ingrowth through uncovered metal stents. So really those are the three. But far and away, number one is treatment of cholangio. Number two is residual ampullary adenoma or intraductal extension of ampullary adenoma. So in terms of the device and the technology, it's when I talk to patients about it, I'm like, it's actually quite simple. It's really just a device that you pass over a guide wire during ERCP. There's two technologies, devices that are on the market in America. There's the Boston Scientific Habib, and there's the Taewoong Elra. And I'm not violating anything because those are the two that are available. And I can tell you that I find value and benefit in either, depending on what the case type that you're performing. So it's simply a catheter that goes over a guide wire that delivers current. As the current passes through tissue, it leads to tissue necrosis, which generates char. And that char is really important because it reduces the depth of electricity that will pass to surrounding structure. So even still, you know, you talk about complications. In this case, we have ampullary restenosis, which is generally easy to treat. I've had some complications related to fistula formation, especially intra-blood vessels higher up in the biliary tree. I've seen pancreatitis from treatment of ampullary adenoma. So while the device is easy to use, you have to be very vigilant about the potential complication. So I'll pause there.
That is very nice insights and really simple technology, but at the same time, it has a very high impact on management of such tumors. And we saw some evidence that it prolongs the patient's life, which is very important. But as you said, we have to be vigilant using this and also be very mindful about possible complications. And so in general, and you mentioned a few of these, but how frequent is these complications in radiofrequency ablation? And is there any also other rare complications or potential complications that has been reported in the literature within the past few years from using this for ampullary tumors or biliary tumors?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's generally speaking, I feel lower on the list of complications, especially because in an ampullary case, you can see the electricity that's being delivered. So if there's excessive bleeding, you're going to know about it right away. Whereas if you're treating something high in the intrahepatics, you may or may not know, and that can be dangerous. I'd say the major risk in this setting, and we talked about a little bit, is pancreatitis, because the pancreatic orifice is immediately adjacent to the biliary orifice. So that's one. And in patients who don't have pancreastivism, I will always place a prophylactic pancreatic duct stent following treatment. So one risk that I tell patients about often is the risk of repeat procedure. So you see patients in the office, you want to make sure they understand this is not a one and done. You're going to re-biopsy each time. And even then, you're going to be very vigilant about the redevelopment of cancer. I mean, other than that, it's complications of local thermal injury, so bleeding. And especially, as you, and you know this, Dr. Nimri, from using the device, but depending on how much you suction the duodenum down during treatment, you can cause bleeding on any part of the duodenal wall. So being very careful with your use of suction during electricity delivery is critically important.
That's really helpful. Thank you very much, Dr. Singhala. And last question for all our listeners. What are good resources to learn more about biliary RFA? And how do you expect the potential for biliary RFA in the future? And especially that things have been rapidly progressing in the field of advanced endoscopy and RFA. So if you have any insights of that, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I can go on my soapbox about that, which is it's an easy technology to use. So, and there is not in our field as compared to other fields, there aren't specific credentialing for each type of procedure that's done nationally. You have to get credentialed at your own hospital. So at our hospital, I wrote into our credentialing, biliary RFA is a separate procedure in addition to standard ERCP. So most of our docs who do complex procedures are not credentialed in it. And the reason is, we imagine this, you know, we think about our patients first as something that should exist as part of a multidisciplinary algorithm that is part of things. It's not in a standalone treatment that someone just decides to do. So I would say the most important thing is to understand the cognitive framework for offering this or any technology. And in that vein, I think you can find training resources anywhere. All you have to do is go to any of the device companies, and they'll be happy to teach you about how to use it. But I think the most important thing is to connect with a mentor who has experience in using this, who can tell you when a case is indicated, and more importantly, when the technology is not a good idea. And I think the optimal framework for that, if not found within a standard fourth-year fellowship, can be done through preceptorships and other avenues to really ensure you're not just learning the device, but you're learning the best way to treat the whole patient.
That is very, very helpful. And it's from a personal view also, I feel like mentorship, especially in advanced GI, is really important. And one of them is you, Dr. Singhala. They can really shape your practice, shape your future, and they really can get you where you want to be. And with mentorship, especially in the field of gastroenterology in general, but also in advanced GI, can actually also have a very huge impact on where you want to be in academics or in your practice. So that is very helpful. And also, I know that conferences and like the ACG or a big conference like the DDW can have a lot of insight on these type of procedures, and also the expert panels that they provide us with a lot of information about what to do and how can this be done versus not, and what to watch for. That was a very nice and interesting case. And I would like to thank you, Dr. Sumit Singhala, our expert opinion, and Dr. Hamid Saad Faisal for joining us today. And these were very excellent insights regarding biliary RFA and some complications, side effect of RFA, especially in the setting of ampullary tumors. For all our audience and listeners, thank you again for joining us. And please be sure to subscribe to the ACG Case Reports Journal Behind the Case podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you very much.